Welcome to the Africa for Zero Waste podcast, where we engage in thought-provoking conversations about zero waste, featuring real stories from people implementing innovative solutions across Africa. I'm Niven Reddy, your host for today's episode. Today, we'll be discussing why global production reduction targets aligned with national obligations are needed for the effective implementation of the Global Plastics Treaty. Join us as we explore the critical need to set global reduction targets for plastic production and how this can help fight plastic pollution, especially in Africa. On today's show, we have some incredible guests who are deeply involved in the fight against plastic pollution in the region. Joining us today, we have Gerence Mutual, who's from Greenpeace Africa in Kenya. We also have Anna Leroja, who is from Gaia Global, based in Tanzania. And we have Patrick Umuhoza, who is the INC focal point for Rwanda and multilateral cooperation officer at Rwanda Environment Management Authority. So, welcome all, and thank you so much for joining us today. And perhaps let's just dive straight in. Gerence, perhaps you could share with us a little bit about how collective global ambition or a goal on plastic production and consumption is needed in order to end plastic pollution. Perhaps some guidance on what it should look like and what difference can it make for us in the African continent.
Thank you, Niven, for having me in this podcast. To answer your question, yes, a collective global ambition on plastics production and consumption is crucial for effectively tackling the plastics pollution crisis. A collective approach should cover the full life cycle of plastics. That means like from its production until its disposal. And plastics is not only an environmental issue, but generally health issues, and it exacerbates the triple planetary crisis that we talk about, the climate change, biodiversity loss, and pollution. So what should an effective global ambition look like? Number one is global reduction targets. Here we are fostering to establish a binding international agreement that will significantly reduce plastics production and consumption. So for example, the Rwanda-Peru target of reduction of 40% of plastics by 2040 is really needed. And these reduction targets, as much as it's going to be for per country, it should be global binding and globally agreed, because plastics is a transboundary issue. So definitely, if Kenya has banned plastics and Uganda has not banned plastics, so definitely through the trade deals and trade community, definitely the plastics will come into our country. So it should be reduced in the country and also as globally agreed. And the second one is, as you say, like stopping fossil fuel subsidy and investing in alternatives. So encouraging the development and adoption of biodegradable materials and reusable packaging to replace the single-use plastics that we're having right now, depending on the industry. Using these reusable and biodegradable type of material concurrently or together definitely will cut down the plastics production and the linear type of production of plastics. And the third one is systemic change when it comes to refill and reuse systems, investments, and mainstreaming. So putting more money into refill and reuse systems, because from the Ellen MacArthur Foundation research, it showed that if we move to refill and reuse systems, we're going to cut plastics emissions or emissions that come from plastics by 69%. And as Greenpeace, we call for reduction in plastics by 75%. And we believe the 75% can be replaced easily by refill and reuse systems. And also pushing for more innovation and research funding. So these will come in the means of implementation. Increasing research into sustainable materials and sustainable alternatives that will not create the same problem that we're having right now. With plastics, for example, the bioplastics, I feel like it's more of like a false solution because it will only have the same type of process as the conventional plastics that you have right now. So investing more in research on refill and reuse systems is really essential. And you've asked about the potential impact that it will have in the African continent. As I said before, plastics is not only an environmental issue, but also a health issue. So we're going to have much more health benefits where we minimize the plastics pollution, definitely plastics reduction, then definitely the pollution will go down. And also the health risk associated with chemicals that comes with plastics production. And it says that over 16,000 chemicals are associated with plastics. So cutting down this harmful chemical exposure and cutting down plastics production will definitely also cut down the chemical exposure, this harmful chemical exposure to human beings. And also environmental protection. Africa produces 5%, even less than 5%, and consumes 4% of its plastics. But we find a lot of plastics in our ecosystems. So where do these plastics come from? Definitely from other parts of the world, because plastics issues are transboundary issues. So reducing plastics will definitely also protect our environment and critical ecosystems like oceans, rivers, and even our soils where we get our food.
Thanks, Gerence. Very much appreciate that response and to hear the perspective from civil society. I'm quite interested to hear a regulatory response or perspective. So, Patrick, perhaps maybe you could share with us your perspectives on that question in the need for global ambition on plastic production. And how do you think we can go about achieving this collective global ambition?
Collective global ambition or goal on plastic production and consumption. A collective global ambition or goal on plastic production and consumption is essential to effectively end plastic pollution. This global target shall provide a clear, measurable pathways for countries to transition towards sustainable plastic production and plastic use, measurable to curb plastic production, promote circularity in plastic design, and ensure that plastic products are durable, reusable, and recyclable. For African continent where plastic production is still relatively low, and most of African countries are consumers of plastic products, this target would reduce flows of plastic waste into the continent. So by setting a global production reduction targets, Africa could significantly mitigate the environmental impact of plastic waste imports while ensuring the continent is not disproportionately affected by external waste. This would also encourage African countries to develop a domestic industry focusing on sustainable alternatives. So with regard to setting of global targets and plastic reduction targets, Rwanda is advocating for establishment of a global target within a plastic treaty that focusing on sustainable production and consumption of plastics. Rwanda, together with Peru, has proposed a significant target to reduce the production of primary plastic polymers by 40% by 2040. This goal would take 15 years to achieve, allowing ample time for industries to adapt and for countries to collaborate on how to meet this target. This approach is designed to address plastic pollution not just through waste management, but tackling the source of the problem. So without addressing plastic production, it will be impossible to end plastic pollution. As a current production level unsustainable, further negotiation among the countries are needed to refine this target and agree on clear measures for achieving them.
All right, thanks, Patrick. And, you know, we often hear that production and consumption can have elements of sustainability towards them. Can you share any information around what is needed in terms of monitoring and transparency to assess whether production and consumption are actually becoming more sustainable over time?
So, information needed for monitoring and transparency. To evaluate whether production and consumption are becoming more sustainable, upstream data on plastic production rates, use of recyclable materials, and waste generation will be critical. Transparency will require countries to report on their progress in reducing reliance on plastic and shifting to circular production models. Additionally, redesigning of plastic products to encourage reuse and recycling is essential. Without such systemic changes, it will be impossible to reduce plastic dependency and achieve this plastic production, the sustainable production and consumption of plastics.
Okay, so maybe let's just go back to gerunds. Gerunds, you talked a little bit about chemicals and toxics in plastics in your initial response. What are your views on phasing out or controlling plastic products, especially around the use of chemicals of concerns in plastics?
Thank you so much, Niven. Phasing out and controlling plastic products is essential. For example, there are plastic products that are detrimental to the environment, and they're also not really good for waste pickers and frontline communities. For example, the sachets. We found out that sachets, the small sachets, have almost zero buyback value to our waste pickers and is the most polluting type of plastics in the environment. Their small sizes mean that they can break down into small particles, the microplastics, which is even much more harder to clean up. So it's really, really essential for us to start thinking on how we're going to phase out or control these plastics. And for example, the sachets and the problematic plastics in its category, refill and reuse systems can replace all of these. So it's a matter of goodwill from governments and corporates who are producing these plastics to cut this down and change it, to change this system to refill and reuse, which will definitely cut down and control the plastics products, for example, sachets. When it comes to the use of chemicals, there's really need of chemical simplification when it comes to plastics, because we cannot eliminate 100% of plastic. That's why you have the targets of like 75%. So what of the other 25%? So the other 25% will be maybe for critical systems that cannot be, or we don't have alternatives to it right now. But still, chemicals are being pumped into those plastics. So chemical simplification will really be needed even to foster the refill and reuse systems. Cutting down these chemicals to a few chemicals. We don't need 16,000 in chemicals in to make plastics. We need just a few that will be used. And these where now research and innovation really needs to come through. So this need for us to control plastics products that are problematic, starting with the single-use plastics like the PET bottles and the sachets, then chemical simplification when it comes to other plastics that will be needed in the economy.
Thanks, Gerunds. And Anna, we didn't forget about you, but you know, we're reaching a moment where INC5 is coming up, and so is the COP on climate coming up as well. So maybe you could share a little bit with us around how reduction targets could translate into climate action or action for health and economic benefits.
Thank you, Niven, and thank you, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. So we need to remember that the triple planetary crisis of climate change, biodiversity loss, and pollution can only be addressed through real political commitment. That's what INC5 is all about. We must ensure that negotiators in the room understand that the world is watching them so that they can deliver the necessary commitments that are going to actually achieve the goal of the plastics treaty, which again is ending plastic pollution. For that, we need dedicated legally binding rules and targets on the production and supply of plastics to be included in the upcoming instrument. And these rules must create the enabling conditions to reduce plastic production, an essential condition to end plastic pollution. So this is also our only way to stay below the 1.5 degree target, so to meet the climate targets. The Scientist Coalition just released recently a brief that shows that approximately 460 million tons of plastics are produced annually. And it's expected that under a business as usual scenario, production will triple by 2060. This obviously threatens all three pillars of sustainability. We are talking about environment, social, and economic sustainability. The scientific evidence is clear that these issues cannot be addressed by waste management alone and will require primary plastics production reduction. So basically, we are in a fight against the fossil fuel industry again, and they are not backing down. So transportation fuel demands will be flat over the next century, although and the fossil fuel companies are investing in petrochemicals to ensure that their profits remain stable. And that mostly means plastics. So plastics are basically solidified fossil fuel made from oil, fossil gas, and coal. The growth in plastic production alone will doom international climate goals. So again, plastic production currently is 5.3% of the global greenhouse gas emissions, which is eight times larger than aviation, and it's the fastest growing sector in the world. So plastic production alone will consume the entire 1.5 degree carbon budget as early as 2060 if we don't take action soon. And by soon, I mean right now. Plastics also connects, as you mentioned in your question, with other issues, health, and that we'll talk about microplastics, cancer, chemicals in the human body, and all of that. Marine pollution, which obviously affects biodiversity, wildlife, and then biodiversity loss in general, and also development. So for us, as we live in Africa, we know the enormous healthcare costs that plastics brings to the governments, the impacts on tourism, on fishing, and also on infrastructure. Every time that we have a rainy season in any of the African countries, we can see the harm that plastic pollution causes to infrastructure. So I would say that the plastics treaty process has been critical so far. In just 2 years or less than 2 years, we have moved the conversation from a focus on waste management to a focus on primary plastic polymers and production reduction. I will highlight that there are 66 national governments that have mentioned clearly and loud in plenary that they would like to put a declining cap on plastic production. That's the strongest consensus on phasing down a fossil fuel sector in history. So we also have recently seen 99 national governments aligned on developing a financial mechanism that provides the right means of implementation for developing countries to be able to pursue and implement the core obligations of the treaty. That includes all African countries. So how do we win this fight? How do we make sure that we actually reach the goals that we have set for ourselves? So to win this fight, we need plastic reduction at an annual rate between 11.8 and 17.3%. This is the ambition that we are looking for. And the reason why we need an annual rate is because the crisis is so significant that it requires action immediately. So we cannot have a goal for 10 years from now or 20 years from now. We need to have annual targets that we can basically keep ourselves against. I would also say that this ambition, again, must be paired with needed resources. So we need to have a strong framework for means of implementation so that, again, developing countries have access to the resources needed to implement the core obligations of the treaty. And just to finalize, we can never forget that we need to ensure a just transition. So as the International Alliance of Waste Picker demands, we need to end plastic pollution in a way that is fair and inclusive for everyone that is concerned, creating decent work opportunities and leaving no one behind. We also need to acknowledge and make visible all those that have already been contributing to managing the plastic crisis and that have been working the plastic value chain. And that includes the waste pickers, the workers in informal cooperative settings, and we need to recognize their fundamental human dignity and also their historic contribution. That's why plastics goes beyond waste management, and it's actually a human rights topic for us to be pushing for.
Thanks, Anna. Very interesting response. And, you know, just your last comment around this being linked to human rights. Maybe I could just get your perspectives on the previous question around whether you see production and consumption becoming more sustainable over time, or are we always going to be having this level of impact and just it getting a little worse year by year?
Production and consumption can become more sustainable, yes, as long as we put the right regulations in place. And so while the production and consumption are driven by the industry's interest in profit and human rights, we should know by now, they don't really walk together. And so for us to be able to have consumption and production that is sustainable, and many, many people have issues with this word sustainable production and consumption, because many people do not believe that it's possible to have sustainability when we are talking about plastic production. I would say that if you put the right regulations in place and we actually drive our actions not by profit, but by human rights perspectives, by social justice, by environmental justice, and by a deep care for the environment that we live in and the planet that we need to be able to continue to live in, that's when sustainable production and consumption become possible. But that doesn't come from allowing industry to self-regulate. We have had years of trials of asking industries to commit to voluntary commitments that never ever were met and never brought the results that were needed. This comes with action from governments that need to care for their populations. One of the things that I think we always need to remind the negotiators of the Plastics Treaty is that they are there representing their people and not their industry. And so they need to do the job that is needed for their people to have their lives preserved.
Thank you, Anna. That's a really important point that I see what you're saying. It is possible for us to have sustainable production and consumption, but it cannot be self-regulated by the industry. All right. And, you know, just as we wrap up our conversation here today, you know, INC5 just around the corner. Anna, what are you looking forward to? And, you know, do you see agreement in terms of production within the overall process?
Well, I think as I mentioned in my answers, we have very ambitious goals. And so INC5 is not going to be an easy negotiation meeting because what we are trying to achieve there is basically something that can change humanity, you know, can actually change the way that we live in this planet. With that said, I will say again that the Scientists Coalition to End Plastic Pollution released a one pager recently, and they highlighted a couple of the necessary elements that we need to agree on at INC5 to have an effective plastics treaty. One of them being the global annual targets to reduce primary plastic polymer production. And the reason why they need to be annual is because, as I mentioned, we need to actually start reducing production right now. So we cannot wait to have targets that are only going to be implemented in 10 or 20 years from now. We also need to ensure that the scope of the treaty addresses the full life cycle of plastics, so that we can protect human health and the environment. And that is a consistent request, especially from the indigenous peoples, the indigenous caucuses that have been participating And when you talk about the full life cycle of plastics, we're talking all the way from extraction. We need to remember that about 75% of the greenhouse gas emissions from the plastic sector happened before polymerization, which means that they happen during the extraction process, and they affect very heavily vulnerable communities that live close to the plants where that pollution, where that extraction is happening. We also need, again, annual reduction targets for primary plastic production and reduction incentives that are ambitious and legally binding. And now we are talking about national level targets, because if you only have global targets, it's one of those things that is everything that belongs to everyone doesn't belong to anyone. So we need to make sure that national governments have their targets that they need to report on, so that they are reducing production at the national level. And they are also reducing all the pollution throughout the life cycle of plastics. Another thing that we are trying to achieve is provisions that reduce the production of microplastics and nanoplastics. We need to remember that nanoplastics and especially microplastics are extremely harmful for the environment and can never be cleaned once they are in the environment. There is no way that you can remove them. And we have issues with microplastics being intentionally added to products, and we also have the issue of unintended microplastics, and this needs to be addressed. And finally, in order to be able to measure, we can only see if we are doing well or not. So we need to have requirements for transparency, reporting and monitoring of plastics, chemicals, materials, products, the technologies that they use, the systems, the services, basically everything, so that we have an harmonized criteria that includes measurable indicators, so that we can ensure compliance to the instrument, and we can ensure enforcement. And that paired with the financial mechanism, and having a financial mechanism that actually gives more access to funding to countries that are doing better at implementation, can do magic in terms of ensuring that you actually reach our goal to end plastic pollution.
Thanks, Anna. And Gerens, what about you? Is there anything you're particularly looking forward to seeing at INC5?
Yeah, thank you, Niven. I think Anna's exhaustively shared. Maybe put a few stuff on record is we'd like to see a treaty that will prioritize reduction in plastics production, because without reduction in plastics production, this will be basically a waste management treaty. And you've seen if we focus on waste management, definitely we've lost the point of the treaty itself. I'd like to see that we, our negotiators, really put reuse systems in the forefront as the solutions to the plastics crisis, and not really recycling and other false solutions that are being projected. I would also love to see more talk on just transition, and coupled up with a strong means of implementation that includes finances to make sure that countries and the people transition in a just and in a just way to make sure that it protects their businesses, protects their livelihoods, and technically their social well-being, and a treaty that will have strong compliance and monitoring is really essential, because let it not be take the UNFCCC way in such a way that you do things if you want to do it or not. It should be more mandatory in this regard, because as Anna Rochas said, this treaty can change the trajectory of how we live as the planet, and this is going to affect businesses, it's going to affect people, but it's going to be more productive, and it's going to be more meaningful to our environment, to our own health and our own general well-being.
Thanks, Gerence. And Patrick, any final thoughts from you? Anything you're looking forward to seeing at INC5?
So our expectation for INC5, at the upcoming INC5, Rwanda hopes to see the adoption of strong provisions related to plastic production reduction. This includes setting a clear reduction target for primary plastic polymers, which will lay a groundwork for further to be elaborated and adopted at future COP meetings. So this provision will be pivotal for ensuring the plastic treaty is effective in curbing plastic production and advancing a global effort to end plastic pollution. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. And that pretty much brings us to an end of this episode. That was a really interesting conversation. So huge thank you to our guests today, Gerence, Anna, Patrick. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you to everyone for listening to the Africa for Zero Waste podcast. Be sure to join us next time. Until then, I'm Niven Reddy.